Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray. My favorite time of my broadcast day with you. I love it. You know, I was driving into the studio and prayed my rosary on the way in. I try to pray it in the car because sometimes my phone rings, I get super distracted. So I had to pick up the beads right away, got it in. I prayed for you. And I think, you know, I go into the default mode. I almost start at the chaplet, you know, and I'm like, oh, now I'm going to pray the rosary. I knew I'd be praying with you now. So this is a great time for us just to come together. If you have somebody in need, why don't you tell them to stream us right now? They can go to relevantradio.com or use the mobile app or get them plugged into the station you're listening to. I would tell one other person about it. It's a great way to spread God's mercy. It's a great way to tap into the promises the Lord offered for anyone who promotes his mercy. And that can be you. As simple as saying, hey, let's join us. We'll pray for the business. We'll pray for our children. We'll pray for our sibling. We'll pray for that addiction. We'll pray for the Ukraine. We'll pray for whatever. So we'll pray for you today. A couple of intentions came in. I want to pray for these. And let me assure you, I read just about everything that comes in. Every night when I get home, you know, a little later, I'll open the laptop, I'll go into the show emails, and I see your intentions. I don't always read them all here because, you know, time, but let me just share a few of these that came in just a few minutes ago. This person says, could you pray for Randy? He's in the ER right now and is bleeding. He has some health issues. They don't know what's causing this. His family is very scared. Thank you, and God bless you. Pam, we're praying for him. Another person wrote, could you please pray for a friend's pregnancy? She was in an accident and took a blow to her abdomen. So we will pray for that child. We will pray for that mother. Another person says, you pray for my eye cell count. I am scheduled for a cornea transplant for my son's conversion and a job. And I shared yesterday the woman who called in whose cell count was so low. After she prayed the chaplet, doctors were astounded and so was she. She went from like 300 to 2,300. I mean, it was off the charts, a real divine mercy miracle. Another person says, could you please pray for my son who is incarcerated in minimum security prison? Pray that he gets permission this week to have visitation with his daughter, who he misses very much. He's supposed to hear from her sometime this week. I will certainly do that. I want to pray for anyone who's incarcerated right now. Sometimes they're long runs. Sometimes they're short runs. Sometimes people are behind those bars and they're innocent. And Lord, I just ask that your mercy penetrate those prison cells, bring about conversion and new beginnings and healing and justice. Person says, can you pray for my son, Brian? He's an Army officer candidate, dedicated himself to serving the country, worked extremely hard completing the training, but committed a serious error and did not graduate. He's facing dismissal and is appealing the decision with a brigade commander. Their meeting is next week on the Feast of the Ascension, and I am asking that the colonel listens with an open heart and mind and grants Brian a second chance by being recycled to the next available OCS class, if according to God's will. Hey, Brian, Brian's father, thanks. We'll pray for your son. And, you know, we got time, right? We got a few days to pray. Let's do that. We will pray, pray, pray. We will ask God for his mercy. And we'll just really ask for a resolution to this particular situation. And I'm praying today, my colleague, Tom. Tom, anything you want to pray for before we kick it off?
Yeah, Drew, if we could actually pray for my brother who's looking for a job, and also just for everybody who's out there looking for a job, looking for work.
Great prayer.
That they would find the work that they are fulfills them and that God wants them to do.
I got sons probably your age that are looking for work too, so I just, I'll re-echo that for one of my sons at least. So, Lord, we do pray for employment, for those who are underemployed and unemployed and those who are struggling financially. One final intention, if I could ask you to pray for this. Katy, Texas. We talked about the tabernacle that was stolen from St. Bartholomew Church, St. Bartholomew the Apostle Church there in that area. It was a horrible story. It was stolen on Mother's Day when we had all these attacks on churches around the country and pro-life centers. And this came right on the heels of that first draft of the Dobbs decision when that was leaked. They have a suspect. He was named. The Houston Chronicle was reporting his name was Christian James Merritt. He appears to have been high on meth. So I want to pray for him. I want to pray that God can bring healing to him and certainly to his family. The tabernacle was originally found, right? It was thrown out next to a Burger King, and apparently Katy, horrible, right? It disappeared again, and it has not been recovered. Somebody sent me this story yesterday. The real tragedy is not the tabernacle going missing, but the precious contents that were contained in it. Our Lord, truly present in the Eucharist, is also missing. So, Let's ask. This chapel has a great power in bringing back the lost and the missing. So let's pray for that right now, and pray for all those who I always promised to pray for too. Kate Burke. Oh, I got to send a shout out to her. Kate Burke. You know, I'll just give you a. Kate Burke is a beautiful woman who I had the opportunity to spend some time with. I've traveled with her in the past, and she is a very generous soul. She's done so much to make sure that this chaplet and that Relevant Radio has been able to be on the air and to reach more souls. She suffers greatly. She's in chronic pain, this lady. And I often think of what Faustina wrote in her diary about how valuable our suffering is, and the vision of Christ crucified, all the different things Faustina wrote about when it came to suffering. I want to pray for her. It's Kay's birthday today. So, Kay, a happy birthday to you. Wish I could spend it with you, but you have my prayers today and that of our family. You've brought the message of divine mercy to a lot of people. So thank you for doing that. We'll pray now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, is a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our first call today from Barbara. She's praying in Eagan, Minnesota. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
I can. I'm so glad you got through. Good afternoon.
Okay. Oh, and thank you for taking my call. First of all, I would like to pray for a very dear friend of mine, Pat, and her loving family. Pat died on Tuesday, so I would like to pray for the repose of her soul. Also, Pat will be remembered for her courageous battle with MS, which she showed strength and grace, yet had a great sense of humor. And my second one is for my brother-in-law, Paul, who has stage 4 kidney disease, and he may need a transplant. He's got an appointment in Rochester on the first part of August, and also has back problems causing a lot of pain. I pray for his healing for him, and if he has to have the surgery, that it will go well.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Drew. And
you got it.
For Relevant Radio, for the ministry of the Divine Mercy Chaplain, and all listeners, I pray with you. I've been praying with you for years.
Oh, that's so
sweet.
Thank
you.
Well, you're family then, right? We are family. We pray together every day. I love it.
Yes.
I feel such a connection to those I pray with, Barbara. And I'm so grateful for your prayers.
Are.
I'm so grateful for it. Well, pray for your friend, Pat, especially. Lord, I pray for all those who battle MS. My sister-in-law has a fight with that, and I want to pray for her and her family. I want to pray for those you're calling home today, those you've called home in the not-too-distant past, and those you'll be calling home in the not-too-distant future. And I just ask that your mercy envelop these souls. I pray for the hour of our own death, Lord. Allow us to be worthy to receive you and to be called sons and daughters of God, to enter to paradise. Lord, I pray that today in a very direct and passionate way. These prayers may resonate in our final hour. Pray for Paul, especially those with kidney disease, those in need of transplants. We have many miracles regarding vital organs. And Lord, I just give you these intentions. I unite Barbara's intentions to all who now pray with me. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Chicago. Dolores, thanks for dialing in today. Good afternoon.
Yes, thank you, Drew. I'd like prayers for my friend Miriam's mother in Mexico who is dying. She can't speak or isn't eating. Her name is Maria. Pray for her if it's her time to pass, that she pass peacefully with the grace of God. Also pray for the whole family. Also pray for a friend of mine, Tekla, who just found out that she has ovarian cancer. And also pray for Julie, a great pro-life warrior who has something wrong with her foot and is not able to walk. So for these things, I just ask God's healing. Thank you.
We will lift them all up. Thank you so much, Dolores, for getting through. Again, we'll pray for those who are dying. You know, 105 people will die in this very moment. In this very moment. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy, but I do pray for cancers. I know it's a doorway sometimes to eternal life for a lot of souls, but boy, it's a heavy cross for those who carry it, those who are bearing it right now. And I just ask for your mercy when it comes to cancer, Lord. It shows up in so many different manifestations. And today I ask you, heal it, that you go in and allow those treatments to be successful. You allow those who don't know they have it to identify it early and quickly and to remedy that. And Lord, I just ask for your divine touch. Cancer cells shrink, tumors disappear, surgeries not be needed. Doctors be baffled when they look at those test results. And I thank you for being a God of miracles, a God of healing, and God of answered prayers. So with confidence and faith and trust, we turn to you and pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Maggie is off today, so I am blessed to have with me Patrick Alog. He's been with the show for a long time, too. Patrick, good to have you on.
Thanks,
Drew. The phones. I know that you are scouring Twitter. And I'll put this quick programming note as we pray this chaplet. A couple ways that you can get some extra prayer for yourself. You can go to Twitter, at Drew Mariani Show. That's the show account. At Drew Mariani is mine, but at Drew Mariani Show. Put it up, because Maggie and Patrick, they handle the account, and they bring these intentions to everybody to pray for. You can always email me, drew@relevantradio.com. Definitely send your answer prayer there, because I see that. Okay, mark it answered prayer in the memo line. And then finally, I am going to be praying from this day all the way up through the end of October for every intention that has been coming into me. The website, if you go to relevantradio.com/Drew, I'm heading to the Holy Land. You probably heard some mentions of it on the air. And I just thought it'd be such a great idea to take your intentions, whatever they are, whatever the needs are. And I'll be praying for from now. And then I make this pilgrimage, and it's going to be grace filled. There's mass, there's rosaries, there's chaplets. There's a lot of prayer during that. And we're walking the very place that Christ walked, you know, and the very place he healed, the very place that miracles took place. And I want to pray for you on that trip. So send me your intentions, relevantradio.com/Drew. You got to scroll down. You can see information about the trip there if you're interested. But if you scroll down, you'll see this little window. Just put your intentions there. I know not everybody can come, but that's my way of taking your needs with me and making it part of that journey. Okay, so great way to connect. Patrick, what's coming in right now on Twitter?
Yes, Drew. Ken is praying for his mom, Bonnie, who was just taken to the hospital due to internal bleeding. She's 86 years old.
Oh, boy.
Elizabeth wrote on Twitter, "We recently had to unexpectedly replace our vehicle and our roof. That pretty much drained our savings. Today we got a notice from the IRS saying they think we owe them thousands of dollars. I'm sick from this. Please pray this is a mistake and we don't owe anything." Andra is praying for her husband, for his conversion, and for a friend Morgan who's having trouble seeing the joy in her new role as a mom. Kaminsky is praying for his mother-in-law. She is 88 years old and she broke her foot.
Oh, man.
And Lisa is praying and is asking, "Can you please pray for Cynthia? They're bringing her home from the hospital. She's going to be in hospice care. Prayers for a peaceful passing, especially as she has no one with her, just her friends. Thank you and God bless."
Thanks for doing that, Patrick. Yeah, we'll pray for all these intentions, the elderly, especially those with mobility problems. But I do want to pray for you. You get a letter from the IRS, and that makes your heart stop a beat, you know? Makes it at least skip a beat. So we'll pray for peaceful resolution to that problem. Anyone facing tax or legal problems. Let me sneak Graham in here, too. Or I'm sorry, let me sneak in Bernice. She's in Graham, Washington. Hey, Bernice, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Drew, I would like everyone to please pray for all Catholic and parochial school teachers. Okay. Especially for Sister Kadalma, Sister Rosaline, Our Lady of Lourdes School and St. Joseph's School in Upland, all my Crescillo family, and all those who listen but can't get through or are just too shy to call, that their intentions may be sent to our Lord in earnestness.
What a generous prayer, Bernice. Thank you for calling. I want to pray for you, too, whatever your needs are. But let's pray for religious, too. I was taught by Catholic nuns, so I have a special place for them. Lord, I pray for education in this country. I pray for protection over our children from indoctrination. I pray for those who are charged with the noble mission of education, that they may do it and they may grow in holiness and plant those seeds of holiness in those they encounter by bringing truth to them and clarity, helping them to be well-formed. And I just thank you for these prayers that have come in, all those who are united with me. I just thank you for the Spirit, which I feel powerfully today, Lord. And I just turn to your mercy as I pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Kristen is listening to us in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Hey, Kristen, good to have you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Good afternoon. I appreciate your ministry and dearly need prayers for a family. I got a phone call from a friend of mine whose daughter just lost today, miscarried twins.
Oh, no.
And the family is devastated.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, that's so sad.
It is. And we're just hoping that God's mercy will carry them through this and that they will know his love is for these children and, just help them get through this, please.
Well, let's pray for that right now, Kristen. I'll pray for you, too, for all your needs, but boy, for this family, what an unbelievable suffering. Lord, I pray for all those who are suffering the pain of loss of child, especially this particular mother in the family. I pray for Kristen and her intentions. I pray for the mother contemplating ending the life that's in her womb. Just ask that you put people into her path or just convict her heart so that she may know that this is a gift and a blessing and that child is created in your image and has a mission in life. Pray for those who are blinded and lost and just mired in the culture of death. We pray for them, Lord, because I know you love them. And we just pray for their conversion, for their healing, and for new beginnings. We pray for an end to the culture of death, for the overturn of Roe, for life to be upheld and respected. And I want to pray for anyone who's having trouble with fertility. I had a producer who lost 4 or 5 children through miscarriage, and she wanted a child so bad. It was devastating. The pain for any mother who's suffered a loss, only a mother knows that pain. God prevailed in the end. I mean, she is now, I think, pregnant with her 6th child, and it was really seemed impossible that she'd ever have children at all. Went to specialists and doctors. But with God, all things are possible. You know, I mean, God can allow Sarah right, to have a child, right? You can allow the elderly and allow those who doctors say you'll never get pregnant. God's in control of everything. He's in control of everything. Let's put our trust in him and his Kristen and so many others so beautifully pray. We'll pray for God's will. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Our next call comes from Palatine, Illinois. Teresa, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, a lady named Liz called from Palatine, Illinois, and I was in Palatine, Illinois, at the assisted living run by the Little Sisters of the Poor. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to pray for all of them and all of the employees. And I have had a skin infection for 16 years, and I've been to 19
thing.
Doctors, and nobody knows what it is. And I'm praying for that. And I've had a bad back since I was a teenager.
Aww.
And my back went out about a month ago. And I'm going to see a new back doctor tomorrow. So I hope that goes well. And then I just wanted to have prayers of Thanksgiving. 6 years ago, my older brother was diagnosed with bladder and prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And he was treated with chemo and radiation. Mm-hmm. And he was fine for a few years. And then it came back. And he had to have his bladder, prostate, and rectum removed.
Wow, gosh.
And he's been in and out of hospitals and everything, but now he is doing great. I have so many prayer warriors.
Oh, praise God.
And he can walk up the 14 stairs of his house. He can take a shower and standing up and everything.
I want to
thank God.
No, you think I didn't want to step on you. I think part of his healing and success, you know, comes from your prayers. When you told me your story about having back pain since childhood and having this problem with your skin and the rash, you're a victim soul. You suffer. And suffering prayers, the prayers of the suffering are heard in a special way by God. So I'd ask you to do me a favor. Pray for me, the Mariani family, but pray for our spiritual family here too, because I know that.
Oh, I pray for all of you every day,
so sweet.
And your family and everyone that calls in every single day.
And we are so blessed.
And I'm also praying the 54-day Rosary Novena with Father Rocky's book.
We're getting close to
The treasure of the rosary. I love it.
That's great. Well, I'm so happy for you. That's great. Father Rocky's in that novena, praying for the end of row. I think it's 43 days left in that now or something along those lines. But we're getting there. Prayer changes things. Prayer is powerful. It moves the heart of God. Thank you for your prayers. It's good to know you're part of our prayer family here, Therese. I know those who are listening, those on hold, value your prayers. And Lord, I just ask you here, every one of this of your daughter's prayers here, and just mitigate her pain, you know, and if in your mercy, you'd be so kind, alleviate it. I pray for all those in chronic pain, those with back issues, those with sciatica, those with skin disorders, Lord, those who've been battling ailments and disease for many, many years now. We just pray for a reprieve and for your mercy as we pray. And do I have time for one more, Patrick? I'll sneak one more call in if I can. Bertha in Chicago. Bertha, good afternoon.
Hi, I want to pray for a mother in Mexico who hasn't heard from her husband and two sons in over a year. I pray that she gets news from them.
Okay.
And for special intentions, especially my son who has some legal matters.
Yeah, that's tough. Keep praying,
thanks.
Bertha. We're with you. We'll pray for your son. All right? We'll pray that good comes out of that situation. We'll pray for those who are missing and unheard of. And Lord, right now I give to you the needs, the wants, the desires, the hearts, the prayers of all who are united with me in prayer. We thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
I'm going to hold 1 second here. I know we're in the middle of this tenth decade, but we got a very urgent prayer intention coming, and I want everybody to pray for this right now. Pat, I'm going to go to Valerian Patrick in Colorado. I just saw it pop up on my screen. Valerian, could you please share this intention with everyone so we can get the country praying? What's going on?
Yes, I live in a suburb of Denver, and there is the highway is closed, one of the busiest highways in the area. There's a man on the bridge looking like he wants to jump, and they've been working with him for the past 30 to 40 minutes to try and stop him. So just please pray for him that he doesn't take his life and that they are successful in getting him off the bridge.
Well, I am so glad you got through. I just feel the Holy Spirit here. You might have just saved his life. Lord, I just thank you right now for this woman. I pray for her intentions, but I pray for this man contemplating suicide, taking his own life. I pray for all those who are contemplating ending their lives, all those really suffering in this moment, Lord, in anguish, mental anguish, who don't see a purpose for living. So I pray now that by the virtue of this prayer, the promises of the chaplet, your sacrifice, that the Spirit descend upon this man and he can find the healing he needs. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
St. Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you saints that are patrons of impossible cases,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. Here every time, every day at this time, please tell others about the chaplet. And remember to send me your intentions on Twitter. You can send them my email. Definitely send them to me at relevantradio.com/Drew. I will be praying for them both personally at the places I go to, so many of the holy shrines here in the country. But when I get to Israel, they will be prayed for in a special way. So my way of saying thank you to you for your prayers and for your friendship. All right. I'm going to take a short pause. I'll be right back.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
If someone said that one line of one opinion would be leaked by anyone, and you would say, that, oh, that's impossible. No one would ever do that. There's such a belief in the rule of law, a belief in the court, a belief in what we were doing, that that was verboten. It was beyond anyone's understanding, or at least anyone's imagination, that someone would do that. And look where we are, where now that trust or that belief is gone forever.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was, of course, the voice of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. He was speaking about the loss of trust that resulted from the leak of the draft of the Dobbs versus Jackson case. And I'll talk a little bit about that coming up a little bit later. But really, what a tragedy. It really was a tragedy. I can't wait to see how that all settles out, how it shakes out. But a major, major blow for the Supreme Court. There is good news out there. I mean, so often when you talk about life, it's always the negative, right? There's always somebody, we talked about it earlier. I mean, we talked about how there's legislation on both coasts that want to legalize the ability to kill a child, not in the womb, not even up to birth, not even partial birth, but up to 2 months after it's been born. Now, I know that sounds unimaginable. The states of Maryland and California. And I'm thinking, who could ever do that? Right? I mean, then why the arbitrary number of 2 months, right? Why 2 months? There is good news out there. There really is. There's a lot of it. And I just want to say that, you know, we are winning the war. You know, I think as Satan becomes more aggressive, and you see how radical it becomes, legalizing infanticide, I mean, that's unimaginable, right? It's a good sign. I think that means time's running out. I think life is winning. There's news out of Oklahoma this afternoon that the legislature has passed a pro-life bill that's similar to Texas's pro-life law. What's it do? Well, it allows someone to sue another person who aids or abets a woman obtaining an abortion. I often think about this. I had a friend. He got his girlfriend pregnant, and he wanted the child. His girlfriend didn't, right? She was really on the fence. She was just going through a lot of turmoil. Her girlfriend drove her to this abortion clinic, right? So this law would allow him to sue her. Might make that girl think twice if he said to her, hey, if you drive her, I'm going to sue you. Who knows? Might have bought a little more time, might have saved the baby's life. But you can see how some of these circumstances might be able to play out. There is a major difference between what we saw in Texas and what we're now seeing in Oklahoma. Texas, that law bans abortion after about 6 weeks, which is when a baby's heartbeat can be detected. You know, talk about these heartbeat bills. Oklahoma, that bill bans it. Now, check this out. Now, can I just applaud personally Oklahoma? It bans it from the moment of fertilization. Bravo, Oklahoma. God bless the people of that state. The Texas law, bravo to you, too. I'm not diminishing you at all. I mean, God bless you. You're a real pioneer in this. The Texas law has been challenged in court. It has so far survived, even initial challenge at the U.S. Supreme Court. And it's expected that, this governor in Oklahoma will be signing this bill soon. So can't wait to see that happen. There's just, look, that's just one. I was reading a report earlier today. It's one of a battery of bills that are being brought forward in state legislatures around the country. If you listen to the media, you would think that these marches are all over the place, that the culture of death is so big that states are embracing this culture of death. You get, you know, institutions that want to pay to, like Amazon and Starbucks and all these other people who want to pay to have their employees go and have abortions, right? You've got the state of New York, you know, it's telling Texan women, oh, we'll pay to have you have your abortion here. You get those cases, but fundamentally, check this out. This research was done by the Heritage Foundation. They found that as of April 21st, okay, the other day, or not the other day, last month, I should say, 42 states have introduced a total of 417 pro-life bills. 42 out of our 50 states here have introduced 417 pro-life bills. I don't care what anybody tells me. This is a pro-life nation. I don't care what the polls say. I think in the heart of most Americans, they know when life begins and they know it's a child. These bills contain, you know, at least one pro-life provision in the current legislative session. So the bills contain a total of more than 600 pro-life provisions. In addition to what happened in Oklahoma City, 12 states have enacted 15 pro-life bills in this period. So I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but the bottom line is, it's great news, right? This is good news. Hit me with it. Throw it at me. I love it. I'd like to hear this every day. Some of those new laws, they help mothers after the child has been born. I think this is an important aspect of our conversation about life, including funding to pregnancy resource centers. Those poor pregnancy resource centers, God bless you. Thank you for what you've done over the past several decades. I know it's been a battle. It's been a struggle. You had to scratch and claw. You had to try to raise money all sorts of ways. You've done wonderful work for women. God will bless you. I love these new laws saying, yeah, let's help fund these. Let's let the women know there's an alternative out there. You know, I know so many people who would love to adopt a child. They would just love it. Love, love, love that. Let's bring these children to life. The bills, according to Heritage, include prohibitions on abortions at various gestational limits. Informed consent is another aspect of this. Regulation of abortion facilities, that's an important one. Enhancing abortion reporting requirements. That's a good safety measure too, right? Prohibiting taxpayer-funded funding of abortion. I love that one. And the reason I love it is I don't want my tax dollars funding abortion. Do you? You want your money, your hard-earned money, going to fund this to continue to wound, you know, mothers, destroy life, kill children, you know, have the woundedness of our nation's a wounded nation. The other aspects are regulating dangerous chemical abortions, protecting born alive abortion survivors, ultrasound requirements, prohibiting non-physician abortions, etc. Right? It goes on and on. Now, of course, not all these bills are going to be passed. I want to be upfront about that. Some have been introduced in states with a Democrat majority legislature. What do you think is going to happen there? Just the fact that this has that this many have been brought forward, I think, is a hopeful sign. And we've got midterm elections coming up. I think you're going to see some radical changes. I'm joined today by the senior counsel for Americans United for Life, and I'm grateful for his patience in the work that he does. Carl Forsythe joins me today. You can find this organization out. Clark Forsythe joins me today at aul.org. That's our website. He joins me today to give us some of the latest. Clark, thank you for coming back. It's good to talk with you once again.
Thanks, Drew. Good to be back with you. And what you've been describing is the vibrant pro-life movement in the United States. It is the most vibrant in the world. And what you've been describing has been happening year after year after year for at least since 2010, when the number of laws coming out of the state legislatures started to grow year by year. And it's exciting to see on the verge of the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs that once again this spring, many states are moving ahead with pro-life laws. It's great. Wonderful.
Give me a perspective on that. Because, you know, I was surprised at the number. I was looking at it, I'm like, you know, that's an unbelievable number of bills. Given all the rancor that's happening around abortion this moment, you would think that the culture of death is bigger than it really is. I wouldn't have expected that many bills, but what's your guess about why so many have been introduced? Because they know that Roe's going to fall? Is that the sentiment?
Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, it's simply the growth of the pro-life movement across so many states. I mean, you could go back to the 70s or 80s and find a handful of states that had pro-life legislatures. And now every year we're getting 15 or 20 or 25 states moving ahead with pro-life legislation. It's also enthusiasm, I think, in the states anticipating and getting ready for the Dobbs decision. Hopefully the leaked opinion by Justice Alito will become the final majority opinion of the court. And that clearly says more than two or three times that Roe is overturned. Mm-hmm. One of its merits is that it's so clear in using clear language that that Roe and Casey are overturned, overruled is the language. Right. So that is going to embolden the states.
Yeah, I mean, it's great news. We know it's coming any day now. At the latest, probably the end of June. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, you know, think about the upcoming elections. This also really shows you, doesn't it, the importance of down ballot races. A lot of people just pull the top of the ticket, but really we need to know who's going into office and then vote accordingly. I was looking at the state of Pennsylvania and the race that they're having right now. You know, where do the candidates stand on life? There's some confusion over Oz and some things, some confusion over him. But the elections, you know, midterms, which are, you know, they're going to be here before we blink. Speak to that for a moment, because I don't know if people always put life at the top of the ballot. I think it has got to be, because everything else is dependent upon that.
Oh, I agree with you. Elections and pro-life sentiment or convictions of candidates is going to be important from the top of the ballot to the bottom of the ballot. And again, you're talking about Pennsylvania and the states. And one of the reasons why the pro-life movement in the United States is so vibrant is because of the 50 states, because of federalism. Compare the pro-life movement in the U.S. to the pro-life movement in parliamentary countries like Canada or Great Britain. It is moribund compared to the U.S. because when you're shut out of parliament, that's it. Yep. But when you're shut out of Congress here in the United States, or you've got a pro-abortion president, we've been able to go to the states and introduce new ideas. You talked about all the variety of pro-life laws.
Yep.
You know, a state can try this, and another state can try this, and they can innovate and address different areas. You talked about, you know, grants to pregnancy care organizations. They're going to be on the front lines after the Dobbs decision, as well as the public officials like attorneys general and mm-hmm. county prosecutors, who are going to be on point as to whether they're going to defend the laws or not. So all of this is just a reflection of the vibrant pro-life movement and the strength of federalism and how it has built momentum over decades.
Hey, Clark, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can talk a little bit more. If you want to get in on the conversation, I only have Mr. Forsythe for a few more minutes, but you can dial in 888-914-9149. Feel free to sound off, share your own experience or story. It's always good to talk to you. We are seeing a major transition in our country, a major victory for life. Things are changing. We are on the advent of that, and there should be a lot of rejoicing. Life is winning. In the end, life will win.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The hope lives here.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Sharing a little bit of good news. There is a raft of pro-life bills in state legislatures across the country. 42 states have introduced a total of 417 pro-life bills, or at least bills containing some pro-life provisions in them in the current legislative session, and the bills contain a total of about 600 pro-life provisions. So I'm just so delighted by this. It's good news, right? We should celebrate this. I'm joined today by Senior Counsel for Americans United for Life. Check them out. This is a good group. AUL.org is their website. Clark Forsythe joins me today. And Clark, before we jump into the phones, I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, look, I know Roe's going to fall. And we're going to see this battle play out at the state level. What are the priorities for legislators after the Dobbs decision? Right, I'd love to get your take on that. And it'd be cool if there was some sort of resource people could go to and see what bills are going on in their own state so they can be better informed. Because I think that call to action now, more than ever, with the local state legislators is so
Definitely.
Important that people know that they care.
Yes, definitely. And we have a digital platform at Americans United for Life, AUL.org. It's a pro-life legislative tracker, and any voter in any state can go and find out pro-life bills or pro-abortion bills that are pending in their state, who introduced them, and how to contact those legislators. So that's going to be a wonderful boost to pro-life activism after the Dobbs decision. But my message to legislators after Dobbs would be take a deep breath and take a long-term view, because this is not going to be settled in the states immediately. It's going to play out over a number of election cycles and a number of legislative sessions, but they have to have a long-term view toward achieving the greatest good possible in their states and formulating a long-term, stable, deeply rooted pro-life culture in their states.
I could not agree with you more. Well, look, I want to thank you for the great work that you do. and your organization does, and I'm very hopeful for the future. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but when do you see this decision dropping? I heard some buzz. It could be soon, not the end of the court session. What do you think? When do you think we're going to get the word?
It could be, but we're still looking to the end of June. But frankly, it could happen any day that the court has announced that it is releasing opinions or decisions. It doesn't say which case, but it says we're releasing, and the court is releasing next Monday. Yeah. So we're watching every day the court says that, but I still think it'll be late June.
I also don't think that we're going to see any significant changes in that first. I'm sure there'll probably be some fine tuning to that. But as you pointed out in the very beginning, that leaked first draft of the Dobbs decision, it was pretty clear. It was pretty articulate in terms of the case that it was made. You don't expect some radical surprise, do you?
I don't. I still think we have to pray every day for the outcome. It's not official till it's official. There could, as you've described, the pressure on the justices is enormous.
Yeah.
And the understanding is that draft is still the only draft for the court that's circulating. Hopefully it can be improved in a few ways, but hopefully that is the substance of what the court will eventually release.
Yeah. One final thought before I let you go. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he's a Republican out of Kentucky, he said that a nationwide ban on abortion is a possibility if the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, as suggested in that decision. How likely is something like that?
Well, given the split, the closely divided House and the closely divided Senate,
It may go red.
Well, if he's talking short term, we're going to have to see what happens in the elections. But of course, even if pro-life legislators took over the U.S. House and the Senate, right, still have a president that's opposed to abortion.
That's true.
So there couldn't possibly be a pro-life law enacted and signed before 2024.
That's so true.
But so I see the Congress deadlocking and the issue left to the states. And we've developed decades of momentum. The legislation passed by the states has led to this Dobbs decision, has led to keeping Roe versus Wade unsettled. And we're here now with this Dobbs decision in the Supreme Court with the issue unsettled because of what the states have done. And that's the place to look for vibrancy and momentum.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, again, thank you for your time and thank you for your insight. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it all shakes out. I think the battle is going to go to the states, as we've talked about. But I think the idea of a nationwide ban on abortion, boy, that'd be great. We'll have to see. Well, keep praying for it. Hey, thank you, Clark. Always good to
Amen.
Talk with you. Keep up your good work, okay?
Thank you, Drew. God bless.
All right, God bless you. It's about 4 minutes before the top of the hour, closing in on 3. And look, we are, again, I just want to hit on this. Year after year after year after year, as I talked about the life issue here, so often you feel like nothing's changed. And my greatest frustration with this whole discussion was the apathy that I saw. There would be pro-life marches. I attended several of them in Washington, D.C. I covered them for the network here. And people are passionate. You see life, people where they stand. But, I'd go into the election cycles and you see people voting, not with the life issue at the top of the tier. It'd be some other issue, whatever that might be. And I often thought, but we're doing our fellow American a disservice, right? And then I thought, well, how will things ever change? Father Frank Pavone, who was the founder of Priests for Life, he once said, and I was always struck by this particular statement. He says, abortion in this country will never come to an end until America sees it for what it is. It's invisible, right? It's invisible. You go into these clinics, women abort their child. Some parents, siblings, spouses might even know the woman was pregnant, right? It can remain relatively hidden. Then, of course, you'll hear these horror stories, like what happens with Gosnell, right, in Philadelphia, the House of Horrors. And you'll hear some of these other tragedies. Movies will come out from Abby Johnson, and you'll realize, oh, my gosh. But what we're seeing today, and I again have to commend those who have been so steadfast in this fight, who've been educating, who've been dealing with this on a legislative level, who've been pro active on this, who've been praying, who've been fasting. I mean, it's not just one tentacle, you know, it was multiple. It was a multiple prong approach to this thing. And we are now seeing it. And the question is raised, and maybe I'll address this at some point in the future when the decision comes down, but will this pull us as a nation out of a steep moral decline? Will it hold back? Will it forestall God's divine retribution? The reason I say that, and I don't say that lightly, I believe the sin of abortion, more than anything else, calls down the hand of God. It calls down the justice of God. And I really believe we are in a period of mercy. In fact, that the Lord told St. Faustina, who saw abortion in her own day, it was very hidden, it was not legalized, but it was taking place. You know, the chaplet stemmed forth from that experience. That's a whole other story. But the Lord has said to her, and this applies to you and me today, he says, before I come as a just judge, I first come as a merciful Savior. But woe to those of you who do not recognize this time of my visitation. I believe we are in this time of visitation. That's why we're having so many reported visions of the Mother of God in every habitable continent. Go back to the Old Testament. Look at the prophets that came warning the people to amend their lives and to convert. Our Lady is that modern-day prophet. We have saints like Sister Lucia de Santos, or not, she's not a saint yet, but we have those Fatima seers, two of them who are already saints, St. Faustina, so many others who are calling us to that same message. Amend your life, repent. We as a nation, I think, are heading in the right direction if we get this issue right.